You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along on today's show. Maria Martin of 11 Alive News. She's going to join us. She was at the Georgia-Clemson game last weekend. We'll get her thoughts on the Bulldogs and some other SEC schools. Also, we'll look ahead to this week in the SEC with college football analyst Taylor McHarg. And we'll go around the conferences. We got tons of news on injuries and all kinds of stuff going on with all the games in this week's action. I'm Chris Gordy. Be sure to follow Locked On SEC for free. Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll get the latest episode of this show as soon as it comes out each and every day. And a quick reminder, it's not too late to listen to the Ultimate Season Preview for previews of every NFL team, every division with our local experts at Odyssey. Check out the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Let's jump right into it, folks.
Boots out to the right. Intercepted.
Makes the handoff.
Around the conference.
And we go around the conference. On Wednesday, a report came out from 24/7 Sports that Georgia quarterback JT Daniels, his status may be up in the air for Saturday's home opener against UAB. According to the report, Daniels suffered a core injury, likely to his ribs or oblique. While it isn't expected to be severe, it could keep him out against the Blazers this weekend. Kirby Smart named Carson Beck the backup quarterback earlier this week, and it does appear he would start on Saturday if JT can't go. Daniels threw for just 135 yards and an interception in the Bulldogs' win over Clemson on Saturday. So obviously looking for, you know, maybe a stat-type game to get his numbers back up and feel good, but JT Daniels may miss the game this Saturday. We'll talk about that in just a bit with Maria Martin. At South Carolina, big questions surrounding the health of running back Kevin Harris and quarterback Luke Doty. Both fill-ins were very good last week against Eastern Illinois. You had Zaquandre Wright ran for 128 yards on 12 carries, while Zeb Nolan threw for 121 yards and four passing touchdowns. Head coach Shane Beamer declared Kevin Harris a full go, saying he's had a great week of practice. He's not on a rep count or anything like that, so they're turning leading rusher in the SEC from last year. Should be out on the field this Saturday, though Beamer added they will play four running backs against ECU. As for Luke Doty, Beamer mentioned the sophomore has been fine all week despite being a little bit sore in prep for the game. Beamer noted that Doty is just about there for Saturday, so all signs point to old Luke Doty coming back and Zeb Nolan, I guess, heading back to the bench. Coaching staff, we'll see. Over at Tennessee, Cooper Mays left the Vols' season-opening win over Bowling Green with a lower body injury that caused Tennessee to have to shuffle up its offensive line. With Mays hurt, Jerome Carvin moved from left guard to center, and Ollie Lane took over for Carvin. It's possible the Vols are going to have a utilize a similar look this week, as Mays is questionable for their home matchup against Pittsburgh Saturday morning. However, Josh Heupel, talking with the media on Thursday, said that more players could enter the mix if Mays ended up being out. He said, look, Coop's made some really good jumps here, so we'll find out Saturday morning where he's at and whether he'll be able to go or not. But he said if not, they're going to rotate different guys in and kind of see who can do what on that offensive line. Tennessee also announced yesterday that running back Tyon Evans, who rushed for 120 yards in the win over Bowling Green, may not be available to play against Pitt on Saturday. According to Vols beat reporter Jimmy Hyams, he said Evans may be having to sit out due to health reasons. They are hopeful, however, that he will be available by Saturday. Tennessee had two wide receivers already missed the season opener due to health issues in Jimmy Holiday and Ramel Keaton. They're saying, don't really know if it's COVID, but, you know, health reasons. Over at Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin is on his way back to his team after missing Monday night's win over Louisville because of his positive case of COVID. The Ole Miss coach shared his latest health on media teleconference this week. He said, I have no symptoms. I feel great now. I will be back for the game, so I'm excited about that. That was strange, obviously, being there, not being there. He said winning and not being in the locker room with the guys was strange, but everything happens for a reason. I'll be back by Saturday. Ole Miss will return to action Saturday night against Austin Peay. LSU, they're preparing to host McNeese State at Tiger Stadium for their home opener on Saturday. Coach O will look to have a couple members of his offense back that didn't play in the loss against UCLA last week. One of those players, running back Trey Bradford, who played for LSU in 2020 before transferring to Oklahoma. according to reports, he has re-enrolled at LSU, and O said they're waiting on the NCAA to see if he will be eligible to play this week. Another name that was brought up, running back John Emery, who was academically ineligible for the season opener. Ogeron said the junior, who was Tiger's second-leading rusher last year, will play if deemed able to do so. He also said freshman Armani Goodwin, who was a four-star recruit, will play against McNeese on Saturday. They held him out against UCLA last week. Over at Arkansas, one of their key seniors has reportedly been lost for the season, according to Hogbeat. Razorbacks defensive end Dorian Gerald broke his leg on Wednesday during practice. He will miss the remainder of the 2021 season. Over at Alabama on Thursday, Nick Saban shared during his weekly radio show that freshman five-star running back Kamar Wheaton was injured in practice. Saban didn't go into any other further details. Wheaton was not on the field for warm-ups against Miami on Saturday. Unfortunately, we'll see where they are with Kamar Wheaton, but highly touted recruit, but hurt in practice this week. Over at Mizzou, wide receiver Mookie Cooper, he was on the field for the Tigers despite battling a foot injury he suffered in practice leading up to their game against Central Michigan last week, and he was officially declared questionable by Eli Drinkwitz during his game week press conference. On Wednesday, Cooper discussed the injury and its effects on his game and various routes he was asked to run, while adding that during practice he tried to cut more with his foot continuing to heal. Missouri will visit Kentucky this Saturday night. Should be a big one on SEC Network. Speaking of Kentucky, their quarterback Will Levis had a big opening week one against in a win against Louisiana Monroe. The junior quarterback threw for almost 400 yards and four touchdowns. He was so impressive he won the Manning Award for Quarterback of the Week for his performance based on a fan vote from Facebook. Florida Gators, they announced this week the Swamp will be rocking next weekend when number one Alabama comes to town, according to a release from the school. Next weekend's game is now officially a sellout. That will be Saturday, September 18th, 3:30 Eastern on CBS. So a monster game for Florida. It'll be a packed Swamp. See if Alabama has any issues. And lastly, Georgia announced they will honor former Bulldogs coach Mark Richt this fall. Richt will be recognized at halftime of the Dogs game against Missouri on November 6th. Of course, done a ton of great things over there at the University of Georgia. When we return, we're going to talk about those Georgia Bulldogs, including the Ole Miss Rebels. Maria Martin, she was at both games this past week from 11 Alive News. We'll talk with her next right here on Locked on SEC. Need to remind you guys about our friends over at Built Bar. Built Bar is giving you the freedom of choice. They're the best tasting protein bar out there. Do you know Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's literally something for everyone, from coconut to raspberry. My favorite, the mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. Tons of different flavors to choose from. And if you haven't tried them all, I recommend you get a mixed box where you get two of each of the nine flavors. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein packed in there, only 130 calories in many of the bars, and 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Go check them out today at BuiltBar.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order when you order at BuiltBar.com. Again, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. If you're looking for some kind of healthy alternative to the junk food and all the other stuff that you've been eating lately, Built Bar is the way to go. Post-workout, on the go, check them out at BuiltBar.com. Right along here, Locked on SEC, and we are getting you ready for week two of SEC play and tons of games, tons of action. Still kind of reacting to what we saw in week one of the SEC, and joining us now, a very special guest. She was out there on the field in Charlotte last week for Georgia's monster win over Clemson. She is Maria Martin from 11 Alive News in Atlanta. She joins us now. Maria, welcome in. How are you?
What's up, everybody? I am great. I appreciate you having me on, Chris. This is the fanciest setup that I've had so far, I think, in this whole, you know, digital age that we're dealing with COVID. But no, it was great. And Georgia looked great last week, huh?
Yeah, it was unbelievable how dominant that defense was. I had somebody tell me a few weeks ago, Maria, they said, you know, this may be Kirby's best defense he's had since he's been in Athens. And look, offseason is always time for hyperbole. You always hear that kind of thing. But man, after week one, it's hard to argue against what we saw out there.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, I haven't been around Georgia for very long, but I've been around the SEC my whole life. And prior to covering Georgia, I was covering Alabama and Auburn. So obviously I saw Georgia quite a bit and have paid attention to them for a while, and ever since Kirby had gotten to Athens, certainly. And there's an argument to be made there. I think that this could be his best defense yet. There's really no disparities. The defensive line is ridiculous. And then everybody behind them is even crazier, but they really create a lot of opportunities for these guys that are 4 or 5 stars, a lot of NFL caliber talent on that defense. They truly just, I think, exceeded expectations. Everybody thought that they were going to be really good because we saw what they did last year. And this defense just lights out. I mean, 7 sacks, that's really not what you expect, especially against a Clemson team that is very good and returned a lot of starters on the offensive side of the football. They really, to me, the sky is the limit. And certainly, I think if we're getting way too far ahead of ourselves, because that's what we like to do in college football, I think that if you're looking down the line and it's an Alabama-Georgia situation in Atlanta at the end of the year at the SEC championship, I think Georgia's defense certainly gives them an opportunity because of how good they looked against Clemson.
It was so good to see that. And again, like you said, I mean, very impressed with the front line and everything on the defense for Georgia. What did you make of the offense? Because, look, a lot of offseason hype for JT Daniels and, you know, even some Heisman buzz and all that sort of thing. And I think most people were a little bit disappointed. Maybe it was more so what Clemson was doing than what Georgia was trying to do. But what did you make of the offense? And do you expect JT Daniels and that offense to get back on track this week?
Yeah, look, I think there's a couple takeaways because everyone saw the lack of offensive production from JT Daniels and immediately freaks out. Well, if you look at it, I think Clemson's defense was really, you know, on top of their game when it came to JT Daniels from the very beginning of the game. They had his number, they knew what he was going to do, and they really handled him very well. That's not to say that he can't succeed later on down the road. I think that he will be a great quarterback. Obviously, there's rumblings of him missing practice reps this week in Athens. He's dealing with potentially an injury. We don't really know. I'm going to dig around today and try to figure out what's going on out there. But I was less concerned with the offense than I think everybody else was, right? Because you have to remember, Clemson's defense is still really good. And they were really good last year. They're good again this year. People, I think, have forgotten that very quickly when they see that JT Daniels didn't put up these crazy metric numbers against Clemson's defense. You also have to remember that Georgia is missing a lot of key pieces to injuries, especially when it comes to JT Daniels, some of his favorite targets that we thought we were going to see, Eric Gilbert being one of them, George Pickens being another. You know, when you're missing guys like that, it's obviously tough to put up those astronomical numbers, but they still have guys like Zeus. Zeus was incredible. They figured out how to hand him the ball, specifically later in the game, which Georgia has really struggled with offensively down the stretch in the fourth quarter. They figured out how to stick to the run game, stick to the plan. I think it can only get better. It's week one against a really good team. They were playing a cupcake team. They were playing Clemson. So I think moving forward, once we get some guys back from injuries, I think it's going to be really good for Georgia's offense, but they got to figure a couple things out.
What was it like being in that stadium? I mean, I saw your pictures and videos that you put out there, you know, leading up to kickoff and just the excitement of the game. You know, Trevor Lawrence is there, Quavo, I mean, all these big stars and all that. But what was it like after this past year of what we had to deal with being back in a packed stadium and just being around that game day environment that we've come to know for so long?
You know, it's crazy. I think that everybody kind of took it for granted, not necessarily on purpose, but, you know, when you're going to a lot of these big events, especially when you're covering college football, you take some of that stuff for granted. So it felt unbelievable to be back in an atmosphere like that. 75,000 people were on hand to watch that game. Charlotte was packed. We were trying to get to our parking before the game, and it was a nightmare because there were people just crawling all over the streets, and it was nuts. It was something we haven't seen in over 2 years. Even in 2020, we didn't see any scenes like that. So it was so nice to be back around college football fans and just a game of that caliber to kick off the season. I think college football did a really good job this year of bringing us some of the best in week one. Obviously, we've always had the college football, the Chick-fil-A kickoff in Atlanta. But I think there were so many games week one that really meant something and had college football playoff implications that it was just insane to be back around that atmosphere. So great. You mentioned Quavo. Quavo was on the sideline the whole game. sometimes I joke and I'm like, why don't you just give him a jersey? Because I know he was a quarterback when he was in high school. But seriously, he's always around. Trevor Lawrence was there with his wife, walking around the sidelines prior to the game. There were so many guys, that former players for Georgia, that were hanging out. It just felt like a college football playoff game, and it was literally only week one, so it was crazy.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it felt that way. It looked that way in the stands. Georgia finally gets to come home this week and gets to play a home game against UAB, who's been a good program, but, you know, let's be honest, Georgia's favored by a ton. They're expected to, you know, get their offense right and all that sort of thing. What are we expecting for game day atmosphere in Athens? I mean, does it sound like 100% back to normal?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it kind of felt that way last year a little bit when you saw those big, crazy student section scenes last year. I was at one of those games. But this will be even more so. I think that people are just itching to get college football back to some type of normalcy. So Athens will be packed. Doesn't matter that it's the Blazers. I know that a lot of people can't get fired up about a UAB game, but at the end of the day, it's your first home game in Athens. People are going to be there. They're going to be excited no matter what. And this is actually a really good opportunity for Georgia to experiment a little bit on offense and figure some stuff out because, you know, as you mentioned, UAB has been a good team, but they're not close. I mean, they're really not close. And I think that it's a good opportunity for Georgia to be experimental. We'll see what's happening with JT Daniels. Again, I don't know. There are reports that he's missing practice reps because of this injury that is undisclosed at this point. So we'll figure that out later in the day. But, yeah, I think that it's going to be exciting no matter what. I think the Dogs fans are just excited to be back in Athens. It's going to be great.
I know you mentioned, you know, you're in Atlanta at 11 Alive News and, you know, a couple of games this past weekend, SEC teams playing in Atlanta as they typically do. But you were there in attendance on Monday night, got to see a little bit of Ole Miss. What did you make of them without Lane Kiffin? Man, it looked like the offense was just as good.
It's crazy because, you know, Ole Miss is my alma mater. That's where I went to school. So I am SEC through and through. And I've actually kind of distanced myself from the fandom, I think, because I've been covering literally all of Ole Miss's rivals for the past couple of years. I was in Alabama covering Alabama and going to all their national championships. But yeah, their offense is explosive. And I think the biggest question mark for Ole Miss heading into this year was obviously their defense. They were one of the worst defensive teams in the SEC, if not the country. That's my dog.
Bless you.
He just wants to contribute his thoughts on Ole Miss. That's what he thought about Ole Miss's defense. No, but seriously, they were one of the worst in the SEC. And to see what they did was actually surprising. And Malik Cunningham is a kid, the Louisville quarterback, who I covered actually when I was in Montgomery. He came out of Park Crossing High School in Montgomery, Alabama. And, you know, he's got a great ceiling. I think he's still trying to figure stuff out, even though he's, I think, in his third year now in college, which means I'm getting old. But no, I think that Ole Miss's defense was scary, and this is bad news for people in the West, for teams in the West, because we knew what their offense could do. Matt Corral's ridiculous. He should be in the Heisman conversation, if we're being honest. He's insane. So the fact that their defense has now elevated their game, that's terrifying for schools like Texas A&M, who's ranked pretty high, Auburn even, who has a new head coach, Alabama, I don't know, you can't really measure against them because they're good against everybody. But yeah, I mean, I think that it was impressive, and I think that more people need to be talking about Matt Corral when it comes to the Heisman.
Maria Martin of 11 Alive News in Atlanta, what's the schedule look like this weekend? Where are you headed?
Oh man, my schedule is always crazy, and that's why I will be drinking coffee for the rest of the day. I've got a lot of really fun things this weekend. There is a Ring of Honor ceremony at the Benz for the Falcons tonight, so I'll be at that. I'm also talking to Quincy Avery, who is a quarterback guru. A lot of people will know who he is. If you don't, look him up, because he's got an incredible success rate with quarterbacks. He's coached Cam Newton. He's coached Justin Fields, who we're talking about, Trevor Lawrence, and Jalen Hurts, who the Falcons are going to be facing on Sunday. So I actually will be in studio on Saturday. We've got our other reporter, Reggie Chapman. He'll be in Athens for the UAB game. And then I will be at the Benz for the Falcons-Eagles home opener and season opener on Sunday. It feels really weird because this time of year, it's all hands on deck and football is completely back. But it's something that I feel like we've been missing. Last year felt different. We were all on our couches watching football games. And now it's just different. It feels a little bit more normal. And gosh, I love this time of year. It's so great.
It is. And it's so funny. You know, you guys have such a connection to the SEC. I know Reggie just came from the LSU beat. Now he's there in Atlanta and he's getting to cover Georgia and all these other teams. So it's so funny how everything integrates. If you're in SEC country, it's hard to get out, right?
It really is. You know, it's funny, when I was leaving Alabama, I had already covered, no shade to Georgia fans, I had already covered, you know, the top of the top in college football. I'd been to 3 straight national championships. I'd been to 3 straight SEC championships. And I was like, well, where do I go from here? Like, this is it. This is the best, right? But Georgia obviously is competitive. I think I will say, you know, you didn't ask me this question, but I'm serious when I say this. I think that Georgia and Kirby Smart have the clearest path that they've ever had to the college football playoff. I truly do. And no matter what's happening with JT Daniels, no matter what's going on with the offense, which I think they're going to figure it out. I know that Todd Monken will have things rolling here in a couple weeks. I really think that they can make it this year. They've got a very good chance, especially after you see what the defense did to Clemson. I think that this is the clearest path. This has to be the year. Georgia fans have been waiting over 40 years for a national championship. Although, as soon as I saw Miami and Alabama, I was like, never mind. Alabama looks as ridiculous as they ever have. I mean, it's truly scary, but I do think that Georgia's defense gives them a great opportunity, so we'll see. And yes, Reggie coming from Louisiana is awesome. I think that the SEC family is just so strong. Like I said, I'm an Ole Miss grad. My parents went to Tennessee, so I have been a part of the SEC for as long as I can remember. I was wearing orange and white. I like to forget that when I was really little. And so, yeah, it's hard to get away from, like you said.
All the winning you've covered. I guess the next logical step is you're in Nashville covering Vanderbilt. I think that's where this all ends, but we'll see what happens.
I don't know.
Maria Martin, 11 Align News in Atlanta. Thanks so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right. More right after this. For those of you out there looking to play a fantasy sports game and not have it rigged against you, like 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports, it's not that surprising, folks. You're playing against thousands of other lineups out there, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time than you do. You don't stand a chance. That's where our friends at Stat Hero come in. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups. They dare you to beat them. It is you against the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner take all. You've got the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. Just go to stathero.com/lockedon, LOCKEDON. Sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That is unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, stathero.com/lockedon. Stop getting killed by daily fantasy sports experts out there and try our friends at Stat Hero. Roll along here, Locked On SEC, and we're going to take a look ahead at this week's games, give you some picks according to the betting lines over at betonline.ag. But first, we want to catch up with our buddy, college football analyst Taylor McArg, jumping in with us. And Taylor, thanks for jumping in, man. You predicted last week that Bama was just going to dominate Miami in week one. And you were correct. Bama, again, looks like the best team in college football. But kudos to you, man. Your prediction on Alabama was absolutely correct.
I wish I'd been wrong. I really do. I wish that Miami had kept it close. I wish there was somebody that could honestly challenge Alabama. But from what we saw in the opening weekend, aside from Georgia's defense, I'm not sure there's anybody that's going to compete with that Alabama team this year. Their team speed, decision-making at quarterback. I mean, the offensive line play for Alabama was unbelievable. Anytime Miami got even close to Bryce Young, he'd just move aside a little bit. I mean, Miami's poor corners, they felt like, I mean, those guys were on an island for 4 or 5 seconds at a time. So, I wish I was wrong, but like I told you, I feel like we've seen that movie before.
Taylor, from what you saw, is Bryce Young the real deal, or is he just kind of taking advantage of all the great players around him? I mean, 5-star talent everywhere. Bryce Young, very impressive after week one.
I think it's both. I think he impressed me, same as Mac Jones did, same as Tua. I think Bryce is more talented than Mac, but does everything right. Again, I think we talked about this a few weeks back, but for Alabama, to me, they just, you give them the benefit of the doubt now, especially at the quarterback position. The days of the, you know, the Brody Croyle era of quarterback play where Alabama was in these 13-9 slugfests, those are gone, right? I mean, they're turning over, they've turned over a new leaf in the past. What's it been? Gosh, it's 8-9 years now that they've had solid quarterback play, and Bryce has stepped right into it nicely. He was on time, good decision-making. It was just good, clean quarterback play. And in that offense, he's got weapons around him that you just do what they ask you to do and get the football on time and be accurate, and good things are going to happen.
Talking with Taylor McCarg, college football analyst. Taylor, Texas going on the road at Arkansas this week. A monster game for the Arkansas Razorbacks. It's a sellout game. Texas had a nice win over ULL in week one. Arkansas kind of struggled with Rice, but this could be a very dangerous game for Texas this week going into a hostile environment in Fayetteville.
It is. I watched both of those games. I was at the UT game, and then for Rice, I went back and watched it because I've got a few of their games this year. And for you, I'll start with UT. I thought that was as good an opening performance as you could have hoped if you're a Texas fan, and not because it wasn't a real blowout, but it was clean football. In the Herman era, it felt like anytime Texas would, you know, they'd take one step forward and two steps back with pre-snap penalties, with dumb turnovers, with terrible scheme fits on the defensive side of the ball. We didn't see any of that this week, right? That ULL team is very talented and will compete in the Sun Belt and maybe, again, a double-digit win team out of the Sun Belt. But I thought Texas and Hudson Card looked really good in Sark's first game. The flip side for Arkansas, to me, it looked more like Rice really gave away that game in the second half. I thought there was a questionable call on a fourth down in the first half that bit them, and then turnovers in the second half, Wiley Green with three interceptions in that game. I don't think they're going to get that type of gift from Hudson Card, and Arkansas is going to have to get some things figured out on the offensive side of the ball. Quarterback play, I thought, was okay for them. But it's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere in Fayetteville. And I do think Texas ultimately wins this game. I would expect it to be closer than I'm not sure what the line is right now, but I would expect that to be a close game.
Taylor, thoughts on Haynes King at Texas A&M, his first career start, threw a couple of interceptions. Now a pretty tough test going up to Mile High Stadium this weekend to take on a pretty tough Colorado team. Nice early season test for Haynes King.
Yeah, I thought he just looked okay. I thought that Kent State defense is not particularly talented, and I thought the A&M offense in general had a tough time getting separation. Offensive line play was fine, but if you look at Hudson Card's performance against a ranked team compared to Haynes King, I thought the clear winner there was Hudson Card. But again, it's a freshman. Not all freshmen are created equal. He will continue to improve. But this is a big test, and this will be a rowdy environment. I wish so badly that they were playing that game in Boulder, but this will be a big test for him, and we're going to learn a lot about him pretty quickly.
Taylor, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. That's Taylor McCarg. Great stuff with him, college football analyst, and he'll be joining us throughout the season talking all things SEC. All right, now we got to make some picks for this weekend in the SEC. We'll run through some of the betting lines from our friends over at betonline.ag. Let's jump into it. All right, first up, we start with Pitt at Tennessee. Pittsburgh traveling to Tennessee. The Vols, a 3-point underdog from our friends at betonline.ag. Look, I like what I saw of Joe Milton in week one. I like what I saw out of the running game. I'm taking Tennessee to cover and win this game. It's in your house. I know expectations are not high for Tennessee this year. I know a lot of people don't expect them to win a lot of games. And I know Pittsburgh's a pretty decent team. But I got Tennessee at home. Give me Tennessee plus the 3 and give me a money line. The Vols victorious over Pitt. South Carolina going on the road at ECU. South Carolina, very impressive. Not their starting quarterback, not their starting running back yet. They win handily in week one. They are 2-point favorites going on the road at ECU. Look, if Luke Doty is playing and Kevin Harris is playing, I think South Carolina takes care of business. Shane Beamer kind of showing we might be a few steps ahead of where you guys think we are in year one of this program. So give me South Carolina to cover the 2 and win outright on the road at ECU. Florida, they're on the road at South Florida, and South Florida looked absolutely god-awful in week one. Florida looked kind of, whatever, some good, a lot of good. They won, but Emory Jones, we got to see more passing yards. We got to see that arm a little bit more. Anthony Richardson, do we have a quarterback controversy in our hands? We're going to find out. But Florida favored by 28.5. As bad as South Florida was last week, I think that's a lot of points for Florida going on the road. I like South Florida to cover the 28.5. Florida wins, but I just don't think they cover the 28.5. Maybe they win like 27, 24, something like that. UAB is at Georgia, and as we told you already, JT Daniels may not play in this one. Going to be interesting. Georgia's a 24.5-point home favorite over UAB. Coach Bill Clark done a tremendous job with the Blazers. Man, if JT Daniels doesn't play, I don't know if Georgia covers the 24.5. Maybe they win 27-10, something like that. If JT Daniels is playing, give me Georgia minus the 24.5. But if he doesn't, I might lean UAB plus the 24.5. Vanderbilt, they are at Colorado State. Vandy, man, not good in Clark Lee's debut, losing to East Tennessee State. Now they go on the road at Colorado State. They are 7-point underdogs. I think I'm taking Colorado State minus the 7. I just don't have any faith in Vandy until they show me some consistency. Ken Seals, not good in week one. He's going to have to play tremendously well on the road at Colorado State for them to cover those points. So give me Colorado State minus the 7 over Vandy. Texas A&M, they head up to Mile High Stadium to take on Colorado. The Aggies, only 17-point road favorites. I think A&M covers that. You know, some people might be saying you're on the road, Colorado, but it's not Colorado's home stadium. It's a neutral field. Obviously, Colorado's going to have a lot of fans there. The Aggies will travel well. I think A&M covers the 17 late in the fourth quarter over Colorado. NC State at Mississippi State. You know, depending on what sports book you're looking at, we go with betonline.ag. They got them basically a pick 'em. Mississippi State, not impressive. They survived a scare from Louisiana Tech last week. I think Mississippi State wins at home. They are at home. They should win. But, man, would not surprise me if NC State pulls off the upset. If I had to place my money right now, I'd take Will Rogers, Mike Leach, and the Bulldogs at home, but I don't feel good about it. NC State has a chance to go in there and beat the Bulldogs. The two big ones of the night, Missouri is at Kentucky, the SEC night game of the week. Kentucky, 5.5-point home favorites over Missouri. Look, I like what Missouri did on the ground with Tyler Beatty last week, but I think Will Levis and the Kentucky offense gets it done. I think they win by at least 10 over Missouri. And suddenly, everybody in the SEC is put on notice. Watch out for Kentucky. And lastly, Texas is at Arkansas. Arkansas, sold-out stadium, hyped for their future SEC foe in Texas. Arkansas, a 7-point underdog at home. Give me Arkansas plus the 7. Give me Arkansas straight up. I think they pull off the upset over Texas. KJ Jefferson obviously had some issues in week one. Texas looked great at home against ULL, but you're on the road in a rocking, hostile environment. Steve Sarkisian, he knows what it takes to coach in the SEC, but I think the Texas Longhorns lose in Fayetteville. Give me the Arkansas Razorbacks plus the 7 and to win outright. No lines on the other games. McNeese at LSU. Obviously, LSU wants to take care of their business, get their defense looking better, get the offense flowing a little bit better. Alabama State at Auburn look more of the same. Want to see Bo Nix, how good he looked in week one. Need to see more of that again in week two. Mercer at Alabama, look, nothing else to say. Nick Saban said don't buy the rat poison, but they could eat rat poison all week. Alabama is going to steamroll Mercer. And Austin Peay at Ole Miss, look, want to see more of the Ole Miss defense perform like they did the other night against Louisville. And there you have it. Those are our week two picks. I am Chris Gordy. That is going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. And my thanks to Maria Martin and Taylor McCard for joining us. I want to remind you guys, betting on the SEC doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and Lee Sterling. Get Lee's Lock of the Day. Follow Locked On Bets brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Chris Gordy. We'll talk to you guys on Monday, recapping all the action from week 2 in the SEC. Have a great weekend, everybody.